Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the third Sunday of Easter. Pastor Mark Nebel has chosen for his sermon topic, "It is a nice day for a walk," based on Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Mrs. Judy Tufel will be at the piano this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. Welcome to Christian worship at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We gather together on this third Sunday of Easter. Also, it is today for us the rite of confirmation for two young ladies, Chloe and Sophie. We are in the Easter season, and we begin our hymn of invocation with hymn 477, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven. Hymn 477, we will stand for the last stanza. We join together in Divine Service Setting 3. It begins for us on page 184 of our hymnals, or you may follow along in your worship folder. We join in Confession and Absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our service of the word, speaking responsibly the intro from Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard, of Aaron. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Behold, how good and pleasant it is. The Lord be with you. Let us pray the collect of the day. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The first reading appointed for this third Sunday of Easter is recorded in the second chapter of the book of Acts in the New Testament. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and he continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is recorded in the first chapter of the first letter of Peter in the New Testament. If you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of our Lord. We join for the singing, stand for the singing of the Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. We We join together in the confession of our common Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed as printed in our worship folder. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We sing our hymn of the day. It is hymn 476, Who Are You Who Walk in Sorrow? Hymn 476.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon meditation is our gospel reading from Luke chapter 24. It is springtime. It is walking weather. People are out and about, some walking by themselves, maybe with a dog, maybe walking as a couple, or as a couple with a dog, or two. Those who are in pairs, maybe husband and wife, mother and daughter, sisters, or friends, they're getting exercise and fresh air and having, I'm sure, profound conversations. The gospel reading is a spring afternoon, almost 2,000 years ago. Two people are walking and they are talking. It is a very serious topic they are engaged in. But then the two turns into three. The conversation becomes inspiration as the third member opens up Holy Scriptures and spiritually sets their hearts on fire. The inspiration then becomes an invitation from the two for the stranger to join them for the evening as the sun sets. The invitation then becomes the revelation of this guest as the risen Lord Jesus Christ himself. The revelation then becomes a celebration as these followers of Jesus return to Jerusalem to share the good news of his resurrection with his disciples. Jesus now enters into our lives, revealing himself in his word and in his sacraments as the Savior who has won our freedom from sin by his death and resurrection. In our text, very matter-of-factly, it says that these two men, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. There is a lot of speculation on how this could be, but ultimately it was a miracle of God. Well, basically, they, first of all, are not looking for Jesus to be alive. They know him to be crucified, dead, and buried. He's not supposed to be out for a walk. Sure, there are some women who claim that they saw angels who said that he was alive, but after all, who can believe them? They must be hysterical or hallucinating. So, of course, the men had to investigate. And yes, indeed, the tomb is empty, and they do not see Jesus. But he must be dead somewhere else, because dead people just don't come back to life. Yet today we know the Bible story. We recently celebrated Easter Sunday. That made us feel good about Jesus' resurrection from the dead then. But we are not looking for him in our daily lives now. We do not expect him to be present with us. He is as good as dead to us in our daily lives. We recover from an illness, survive a surgery. We praise the medication and we congratulate the doctor. Something goes right in our lives, we credit it to luck. When we endure economic hardship or physical difficulty, we pat ourselves on the back for our toughness or our strong will. We expect Jesus to be dead in our daily lives, so our eyes of faith are blind to all those times that he is present and that he is walking with us. Not expecting Jesus to be alive or walking next to us, we do not see those many ways that he blesses us both materially and spiritually. But as the chosen followers of Jesus, we really should know better. He has promised to be with us always to the end of the world. But we do not always believe what God tells us in his word. The two who were walking on that road had not paid close enough attention to that word either. What happened to Jesus in the previous days had been proclaimed, and it had been written by God's spokesman, the prophets, throughout the Old Testament. God's promised Messiah had to suffer and die and then rise from the dead. Jesus himself had told his followers over and over again what would happen to him in Jerusalem. The climax of those prophecies was that on the third day, Jesus would rise from the dead. Really, on Easter Sunday morning, his disciples should have been out there in the cemetery waiting for this to happen. Of course, in good Lutheran fashion, with coffee in one hand and a donut in the other. But with ears that are clogged by sin and selfishness, we do not hear, and we do not listen to all that God tells us in his revealed word of the Holy Bible. We live in disobedience to God's holy will for our lives, because we do not take seriously his condemnation of our sins. We live as if we make the rules for our lives, because we do not believe that Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. We live a lame worship life with little reading of God's word, because we are slow to understand that Jesus has risen and that he lives among us. Well, those two travelers on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus must have thought that their new companion had just fallen off the turnip truck. Where have you been? Haven't you been listening to the news? Have you been hibernating with your head in the sand, not to know all the events that have been happening in Jerusalem the last few days? Everyone had been talking about Jesus, from his grand parade entering the city at the beginning of the week to his horrible execution at the end of those days. Jesus seems to be a fallen star, an unfulfilled hero. Those who followed him had thought that he would be the one to rescue the region from Roman rule. Yet the one that they are talking to on the road is also the very one that they are talking about. He is no cemetery corpse. Instead, he is their living Lord. Meanwhile, Jesus is conducting with them a walking Bible study. It is an overview of God's ancient revelation, all pointing to him. Well, the Jesus who spoke God's word to his two followers then is the same risen Jesus who speaks to us through his word of the Holy Bible today. He does so for a large group that is gathered for worship. He does so for a small group that is together in a Bible study. He does so for one person who is doing a devotion before going to bed. He also is present for us personally in his sacred sacraments, in our holy baptism, where he claims us as his own child, now dead to sin and alive for God. The two roadway walkers ultimately recognize Jesus in his familiar act of a meal prayer. We today see him in this Lord's Supper, where this bread and this wine are his true body and his true blood present for us according to his promise. By these means of God's grace, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes of faith to see Jesus present with us, this time, though, not disappearing, but remaining. That is the invitation the two travelers gave to the stranger walking with them. They said to him, "Stay with us. The day is ending, it is getting dark, and you need some food. It will be a bad time for traveling. Can't see very well. Thieves lie in the shadows. Wild animals are wandering about." And their sincere invitation is graciously accepted by this stranger, who then gives them the blessing of his presence. Now, through his word and through his sacraments, Jesus abides with us, blessing us with the forgiveness of our sins. He gives us love for living in the midst of this hate-filled word. He gives us hope as we are living once this decaying body stops working. The two travelers among us this morning are these young ladies, Chloe and Sophie. The rite of confirmation that they will receive today is one step in their lifelong journey of Christian education. Since their holy baptism, Jesus Christ has indeed been walking with them. They will see him with them today, and he will remain walking with them in the days, weeks, months, and years to come. Well, the two walkers of our text convince Jesus to stay with them because the day is ending and traveling would be bad. But we see that they then ignore their own advice. Once they realize that it had been Jesus with them, they get moving back to Jerusalem. They forget the dark and they forget the distance. for they have incredible news to tell. And wouldn't you know, there's no TikTok, there's no X, there's no Facebook, there's no Snapchat, there's no Instagram, there's no text messaging, there's no email, there's no telephone, there's no telegraph, they don't even have a lousy carrier pigeon. They have to deliver this message in person. So they go. And these two give us a great example of both the reality and the excitement of Jesus' resurrection. It is a 7-mile trip at night with only the light of a nearly full moon on them and also being on foot in order that they might share that good news that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Well, we do not have to go that far. We don't have to go at night or on foot to find those who need us to tell them that Jesus has risen from the dead. Such a person might just live in your own house or next door or down the block. Such a person might work next to us or maybe be within our extended family. Think about those whom you know who do not yet know that Jesus is risen from the dead as their Savior from sin. Pray for them. Approach them. Invite them to come with you next week in order to abide with Jesus right here in Christian worship. And they will hear from us what those two walkers in our text heard from the disciples of Jesus. Yes, Jesus has risen. He is living, and he appears to us in his word and sacrament. Well, those of you who walk regularly and who believe in Jesus risen from the dead might now be thinking of looking over your shoulder as you walk. Perhaps you're wondering if Jesus is coming up from behind to join you in your journey. Now, there is no need for that. Jesus already is with you. By virtue of your holy baptism through his written word of the Bible and here in this Lord's Supper, Jesus Christ is present in your lives whenever and wherever you walk. He is your companion and your guide on the road that leads to life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the singing of the offertory. I invite you to stand.
invite the congregation to turn to page
272 in our hymnals. For the rite of confirmation, I invite Chloe and Sophie to please come forward. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to the apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You have been baptized and have been catechized in the Christian faith according to our Lord's bidding. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. I invite the congregation to join these young ladies in answering the questions that take us to the top of the next page. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the eternal life, and the life everlasting.
The following questions I will have the young ladies answer themselves. Chloe, Sophie, do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God? Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from the Scriptures, as you have learned to know it from the Small Catechism, to be faithful and true? Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Do you intend to live according to the Word of God, and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Chloe, Anne, Hall, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Chloe, for you, from Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sophie, Marie, Inez, Ko, your verse, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. And Sophie, for you, from Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I invite the congregation to stand for prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, in the waters of holy baptism, you have united your children in the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleansing them by his blood. Renew in them the gift of your Holy Spirit, that they may live in daily contrition and repentance with a faith that ever clings to their Savior. Deliver them from the power of Satan and preserve them from false and dangerous doctrines, that they may remain faithful in hearing Christ's word and receiving his body and blood. By the Lord's Supper, strengthen them to believe that no one can make satisfaction for sin but Christ alone. Enable them to find joy and comfort only in him, learning from this sacrament to love you and their neighbor, and to bear their cross with patience and joy until the day of the resurrection of their bodies to life immortal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Chloe and Sophie, God's peace be with you. Amen. You may return to your seats. We remain standing as we continue with the prayer of the church. In our prayer of the church, we remember those listed for us in our worship folder. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of all compassion, your Spirit opens the Holy Scriptures to the hearts of your people. Enlighten us by the resurrection light that never fades, that our hearts may burn in faith toward you. We thank you for and pray for the ministries of all those who are proclaiming the good news of our risen Savior through all of the mission agencies of our church, sharing the light of Christ into the darkness of this rebellious world. Lord, in your mercy, blessed Lord, you have established your church so that your promise of eternal life might be delivered to us, to our children, and to all who are far off, to everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Grant us faithful pastors to proclaim repentance and forgiveness through word and sacrament. We ask that you would bless our future pastor, John Engvall, and his wife, Teffi, as they make their move this week to serve us here at Emmanuel, proclaiming your word to us and sharing your sacraments with us. We trust that you will provide for his current congregation of Bethlehem, as today they now enter into a pastoral vacancy. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, grant that your word may be the foundation of every Christian home, that husbands and wives may be united in faith and hope, and that children may hear and be nurtured in this word by faithful parents. We pray that you would continue to provide for the lives of your servants in their later years, including Norma, Walter, Millie, Dolores, Dorothy, Carol, and Phyllis, and those we name before you in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, stifle the powers of darkness and end the reign of war, violence, and terror. Give leaders who will seek peace and work for the common good. Instill in them a love of righteousness and guide them in the pursuit of justice for all. Bless our President, the Congress of the United States, our Governor, all state and local officials, all medical and emergency workers, all members of the armed forces, including Drake and McKenna, and all law enforcement officers, including Ethan. Lord, in your mercy, O God, you have not forgotten us in our afflictions or abandoned us in our weakness. Deliver the sick and suffering according to your will and give comfort to the dying, especially to those who have requested our prayers, including Ron, Roy, Donna, Evelyn, Nolan, Lindsay, Ryan, Bryce, Zachary, Brandy, Avery, Jeff, Debbie, Reverend Hagen, Gail, Randy, Lori, Kelly, David, Danny, Inez, Mary Lou, Kathy, Elliot, Reverend Schneider, and those we name silently in our hearts. Guard us against despair and grant us patience in days of trouble as we await your perfect healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings of farm and field, asking that you would grant favorable weather for farming this week, safety in the fields, equipment that is dependable, and strength that is sufficient for the work to be done in your name, which provides what we need for our bodies and lives. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, your compassion is made known to us through your Son's breaking of the bread. Open our hearts and mouths to receive forgiveness in the body and blood of Christ, who suffered for us and has entered into his glory. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, you have delivered our souls from death, our eyes from tears, and our feet from stumbling. Comfort all who mourn the loss of loved ones to physical death with this truth, that they may not grieve as others do who have no such hope. Lord, in your mercy, these things and whatever else you know that we need, kind Father, grant us for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the service of the sacrament as it begins for us on page 194 of our hymnals. We may follow along in your service folder. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabbath, heaven and earth are full of thy glory.
Remember us in your kingdom and teach us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night on which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Now may this true body and true blood of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Go now in God's peace. Amen. We stand as we sing the Nunc Dimittis. For he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless be the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated as we sing our hymn to depart, hymn 722, Lord, take my hand and lead me, hymn 722.